Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
He knows nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, hi. How are you there? Welcome to ENN, which tonight is brought to you by my dearest of friends at All American Ford. Check out the All American Auto Group at allamericanford.net. You could get a car from the comfort of your own home. Yes, it's that easy. They'll drop it off. White glove treatment. Allamericanford.net. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I'm sorry, bruh.
Then we'll say good evening to Don.
Fear no one.
Guys, by the way, I should remind everyone, about 12 minutes left to vote. 12 minutes left to vote. TMKS, ESPN. It's been a very long day for Team Freddie Keehan. They've been down the entire day. The score, by the way, it's like imagine turning on a tournament game and you're just seeing the 2 seed. I mean, it happens. Every once in a while, a 2 seed runs into a 7 or a 10 that they just get absolutely annihilated by, but it hasn't even been fair.
Sad.
I mean, if you're curious how bad it is right now, let's see. And there aren't a ton of close games today. It's not that kind of second round day, but Freddie Keehan is absolutely getting their A handed to them. 68-31. 12 minutes to go. Wow.
That's over.
It's over. That's right. There's a
no. Don't discourage people from voting.
It's a good point. They could change it, but it would take a lot. There's a somewhat close game in the Michael region, and besides that, things are pretty well handled in these second round matchups. But we'll tell you the big winners coming up just after 6:20 right here on ENN. Commissioner Rob Manfred, or as he's known on this show, Bob Manfred, has spoken about the return of MLB, spoke to Scott Van Pelt on ESPN. Let's hear what the commissioner had to say.
You know, I think it will mark a real milestone in the return to normalcy. I think you saw it after 9/11.
Completely
agree. In terms
of
the resumption of play. You know, I was there in Shea Stadium that night that we began playing. It was one of the most memorable games I've ever attended. It's an honor for our sport to be regarded in a way that we have been part of our country coming back from some horrific events, and we hope that we can play a similar role with respect to this one. You know, Scott, I agree with you about opening day. One of the things that we've worked really hard at is to try to provide our fans with some alternative, some connection to our game during this hiatus. And we have opening day at home, a program that our content people have put together. All of our major partners, including ESPN, Fox, all of our social media partners are participating. We're making available an unprecedented amount of content to our fans tomorrow, a social experience to go along with that through social media, because attending a game is obviously a social event for most people. And we hope it'll be a little distraction for people tomorrow in a very difficult time.
So there you have it, guys. It is not a normal opening day, but Bob Manfred and baseball doing their best to, A, give us some content to pass the time and also work on a plan to get this thing going again at some point.
Again, what we're doing, I'm sorry, Don, what we're doing is so small compared to what's happening here. I feel for every single one of these commissioners, as I said to Governor Murphy, there's no playbook for this. I mean, even if you got to jump on it in early January and you saw what was happening in China, there's no playbook. And as Dr. Fauci said, the virus is the one that decides. So we don't know when it's going to end. These commissioners of the sports have no idea to end. They have no idea when their sport is going to start up again. It's an unenviable position to be in for them because, you know, they're entrusted with the sport, entrusted with making their owners money and the players making money. It's a tough call. I'm not going to criticize any of the commissioners. I'm not. I think it's a can't win. It's a can't win for any of them.
No, and obviously there's more important things in the world than when they start playing again. They got to take care of their players. I'm sure there's a lot of questions being thrown at them for players that have tested positive or might get sick in the future. And, Michael, we didn't get to expound on this because we had guests and a lot of things to do and ask Aaron Boone. But when Boone said it could take a month to get these players ready again, I don't think that's a luxury. I don't think he's going to be given.
He said a couple of weeks for pitchers. So I think it's going to be 3 weeks, Don. That's what it's going to be. They're going to have to make it work in 3 weeks.
Right, and that's going to be less than, I think, ideal. You know, I think whatever it's going to take, you're probably going to have to shave a week, 10 days off that because you know, sacrifices might have to be made just to be able to squeeze the games in. If the players are hard-pressed to play as many games as possible, what do you think that's going to come at the expense of? It's probably going to come at the expense of their spring training, you know, too.
Well, the spring training is as long as it is to get pitchers ready. So if in 3 weeks you're going to get pitchers up to five innings, you know what? Then you have a roster of 30, mm-hmm. and the extra four people that you carry are going to be pitchers.
So they
can't get up to seven innings. Get them up to five innings and let's roll.
Now, I do believe, Michael, I could be wrong on this, but you know, if the testing, we just heard from Governor Murphy, if it does get better and does become more readily available, and you can get a pitcher test negative, his catcher test negative, get a handful of people, can these pitchers start to work during the crisis and throw and stay active so that they won't need that much time once we get started again? Is that possible?
I don't think it's possible to get them throwing to the level of ferocity that they would toward the end of spring training. I mean, Gerrit Cole is throwing to his wife and Aaron Boone, and I'm sure Aaron Boone, you know, could handle it to an extent, but there's no way you could recreate the urgency. I just don't think you could. You could keep the arm loose so you're not starting from zero, but I think you're going to be starting from about 20%.
No, I get it, but maybe you can get to a point where if you get enough people that are negative and you find a place that doesn't have any fans or anything like that, that you can simulate some sort of a game. Have a batter. You know, have him throw like he would if he was in a game. Again, it's all not ideal, Michael. I'm just not sure that you're going to necessarily get the luxury of time when it comes to trying to squeeze as many games as possible.
Well, the mystery of Aaron Judge's partially collapsed lung continues. He revealed the other day that he had a pneumothorax, or as he called it, quote, a little lung thing. That's what he said when he was
asked.
That's
the title of my ninth book, by the way.
Little Lung Thing.
Little Lung Thing, yep.
I'm a big fan of the Michael Jackson song, PLT.
Yeah.
Pretty Young Thing.
Oh, sorry, I got confused. Thought it was Pretty Lung Thing. thank you. I'll be here all week. Taste the veal. So, of course, it dates back to September, the fractured rib does. And on Wednesday, Aaron Boone was on a conference call and said the lung issue was, quote, interrelated to the rib injury. He said, I think it probably dates back all sort of related and potentially happening with that dive in September. That's according to Aaron Boone. It's probably something that's impossible to know for sure, but I would believe that it's all interrelated.
But if the lung collapsed or was punctured or whatever the nomenclature is, If it happened on that dive in September, he was on countless flights. It's not a good thing to go on a flight with a collapsed lung.
No, it's not.
How could that not have been noticed?
Well, was it collapsed, though, or could it just be like slightly punctured?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, none of it sounds pleasant, but...
Just because the lung punctures, does it mean it collapsed? I don't know.
Good news for Sean Payton. He talked to WWL Radio in New Orleans on Wednesday, and let's hear from the coach of the Saints.
I'm doing well. I was cleared yesterday. It's been quite a process, and you know, you spend a lot of time trying to learn as much as you can about it. You know, we're certainly seeing it on the news 24/7. But basically, a weekend ago, it wasn't until Sunday night. So not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before is when I first began to feel some flu-like symptoms, you know, where you get kind of the chills And then Monday morning, they were certainly a little bit more significant. I had a low-grade fever, but the chills were back, and that's when I had my test on Monday, and basically quarantined at that point at the house. I didn't get the test results back for quite a bit. It was Thursday PM that confirmed it. But when you're basically at home, you know, you stay inside like everyone's doing, and you find ways to pass time. We had a competition committee meeting the other day on teleconference. But I'm feeling a lot better. And unfortunately, my appetite didn't dissipate at all during that time.
It's just so crazy, this circumstance, because in one moment you hear from a Sean Payton who felt pretty sick for a couple of days, and then he just got better and it passed. And then you hear of other people younger than Sean Payton who it just completely ravages and is completely brutal. There's just when have you ever in your life heard of an illness where the ramifications vary from you might not even know you have it to death?
Yep. Yeah, scary.
I think part of it is the people with underlying conditions and also that are older. But it seems like there's different strengths. Like some people don't feel it and some people just get hammered. I guess that happens with the flu too, right? I mean, some people get the flu worse than others. I guess it's like this. Where, yeah, part of it is because of do you fall into a certain category or how hard did you get it? And some people have just been devastated by it, and other people are positive right now with zero symptoms.
And also, remember, a lot of people think they don't have any underlying health issues, but they might. You know, some people have underlying health issues that have never reared their head.
Yeah, some people don't go for physical, so they might not know they have hypertension. They might not know that they have blood sugar. What I'm confused about, I haven't heard it articulated. Let's say that you have high blood pressure, but you're on blood pressure medicine, so your blood pressure is normal. Does that mean that you have an underlying condition if it's under control, or is it only if it's not under control?
I'm not a doctor, Michael, but what's causing the hypertension, and is what causing the hypertension compromising your immune system? Like, the medication, I guess, treats the high blood pressure, but what's causing the high blood pressure in the first place, right?
Let's stay with this subject for a second. Joel, I'm going to jump in audio. Let's hear Steph Curry, who on Instagram Live did an interview with Dr. Fauci.
I'd like to get the people in the country to realize that we are dealing with a serious problem. It's something that we've modified our lives. It's not convenient to lock yourself in. It's not convenient to not do the kinds of things. It's not convenient for you not to be playing basketball. But we're going through a period of time now where we've got to, as a country, pull together, don't get frightened, don't get intimidated, use the energy to be able to confront it and do the kinds of things that'll put an end to it. So I want to get rid of that misconception that there's extremes. Either the world is going to end or we don't want to do anything. It isn't that. It's somewhere in the middle.
People don't like gray. It's difficult. But if you didn't get to see it, you can watch highlights online or go on Steph Curry's Instagram and go back and watch the conversation. But a lot of interesting information from Dr. Fauci there.
Did you see that Dr. Fauci went to Regis High School in Manhattan? Which is also the alma mater of Book Shambi, our good friend.
Oh, I wish it was Regis.
Regis was named after the high school.
Oh, really?
As a matter of fact. Yeah, Book Shambi has told me that Regis Philbin was named after Regis High School. And Dr. Fauci was on the basketball team. He was like the point guard. There's a picture of him in the newspaper. He looks different than he looks now, but it is Dr. Fauci. He's a pretty cool guy. I like his accent.
Did you double check with Boog on that, though?
He swears by it.
Because you also swore that Bill Meth's wife's name was Crystal.
That's a good point.
I made that up.
I know, but is it possible that Shambi made it up and never got confirmed it, and now that's
no, because
a rumor.
He's told me this personally, right?
Right.
And then yesterday he tweeted it out as well.
I'm always hearing mixed messages about whether the town that I'm from is named after the actor or vice versa. Well, I know it's not named after him, but whether or not he actually got the name Chevy Chase from where I'm from.
It had to be. I mean, that's not his real name, right?
No.
Right.
So he had to get it from your town.
That'd be like Jim Thorpe being named after the town in Pennsylvania. It's
what,
the
Jim,
other way
Pennsylvania?
No, there's a Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. I'm assuming is named after him, not the other way around.
How, but in this case, but
that's
in this
really
case,
Jim Thorpe's name.
Right. In this case, it would be the opposite, Don.
Right.
I know. That's what I'm saying, is that it's not the same as that. Don't confuse me.
You know what? Here's the deal. Andrew, get Boog Shambi on tomorrow. Let's settle this. Boog's got nothing to do. He's just sitting around.
I'm a big Boog guy.
All right. He and I argue all the time because he says that Regis High School is a better school than Bronx Science. I say it's nonsense, but he feels very strongly about it. Excuse me?
You both ended up in the same place. You're working in sports radio, calling games. It worked out for both of you, so stop.
It has Boog written a book?
Should.
No, he has not.
If he does, Don, you could then read both Boog and Booger, both of their books.
Booger.
Shambi's book would be a pamphlet, so that's a short trip to the bathroom for Don.
Why would it be so short? You're knocking his life experience?
No, he's not very verbose.
Oh, he just doesn't talk a lot, you're saying?
Except if he gets paid.
Well, he would be for a book, presumably. Yeah. I can't wait to tell him tomorrow that you don't think he has anything interesting to say.
That was what I was actually talking around, but yeah, you nailed it.
Exactly. I love that you simultaneously want him as a guest on your talk show,
yeah, right,
but then followed up by saying the man has nothing worth saying. Unbelievable.
No, he's a great talk show guest. I don't think he has a book in him like Little Wooden Box.
Drew Brees and his wife Brittany announced a $5 million commitment to the state of Louisiana in 2020 to, quote, help our communities get through this tough time. The Brees family is always...
big league.
Five is a real number. It's a real number. And they are very tied into that community. Nothing like the Saints in New Orleans. The Cowboys and Dak Prescott have resumed contract conversations. Let's hear from Ed Werder on the Dak contract.
Yeah, they've resumed the negotiations for the first time since franchise tagging Dak Prescott. He's the only quarterback that the Cowboys have ever franchise tagged. And one of the consequences of that, Scott, is they're feeling the effects of right now, and that is that they don't know what the cost is going to be for their most expensive player. Right now, he played last year, he hit the cap for $2 million. Well, now he's counting 26.8, and it's likely to be higher than that if he plays a single year on the cap. I assume that he would be willing, if all else fails, to play for one season for whatever the cap number, the franchise tag number is, and right now it's $26.8 million. He's played 4 years, started 64 games, and made just $4 million, so I assume he'd be willing to play 1 year at $26.8 million or more. And as for what the issue is, I think it's really a matter of the number of years this contract is going to cover. You know, Dak Prescott knows there's going to be a lot of money coming into the NFL, and the cap's going to go up exponentially when they get those new TV deals, and so he wants to sign a four-year contract, and the Cowboys philosophically, Scott, want to sign players to 5 or 6 year contracts so they can spread that signing bonus over more years and diminish the impact that player has on the cap the very first few years of the deal.
That was from SportsCenter's
SVP. So is Dak Prescott, right? Dak Prescott has all the leverage. Okay, you either give me the four years and amortize the bonus over 4 years, or take a $26 million cap hit, and then the cap hit you just took for the unexpected retirement of your center. They've got to give him what he wants. What's give up the gig?
Yeah, teams don't normally win this battle. Go back and see Kirk Cousins. Kirk definitively won against both the Redskins, and then even if you lose them, they win no matter what. What's your other option here?
Their only option is to count $26 million against the cap after having that huge cap hit that they suffered 2 days ago. You can't do it.
They could have had an option if they were like drafting two overall, but they're not. So where are you going to go?
What would their option have been?
If they were drafting number two? Well, you could move on.
They would have taken a quarterback, but they might not have been a contender, right? They want to contend every year.
I mean, they should be ready with the right quarterback, right? I mean, that, they're not in rebuild mode by any stretch.
Although losing Fredericks is pretty bad. I mean, I'm not saying it ruins their chance, but what has this team basically been based on the last 5 years? It's a big piece to lose.
No, of course it is. But I don't know if they're going anywhere with him anyway. I mean, it's a tough spot. He is a quarterback, and at times can be a very good quarterback, but I don't know if you're winning a championship with him. I mean, you look at his stats last year. Most of it was against bad teams. It was a lot against the Giants, Miami, Washington. You saw it, Peter.
No, of course.
When crunch time happened, he didn't play well. I think he's a very good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback.
Let's hear from NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman on different options that could exist for the NHL moving forward.
The options are obvious, and we're all exploring them. The fact of the matter is none of us is going to be able to do anything until we get it all clear on some basis. We, too, have explored and continue to explore every scenario, which will depend on the timing of when it's safe to go out. But I think the most important thing in the short term is we should be focusing not just in sports, but we can be a good example on the fact that self-isolation is going to help the spread or reduce the spread of the coronavirus.
The NHL has postponed the draft, the combine, and their season-end awards. Also, Don, a player from the Avalanche has tested positive for COVID-19.
Okay, so that would be three. There was already two with the Ottawa Senators. If an Avalanche tested positive, that's the last team the Rangers played. Now, from what I understand, the NHL is, at least these teams, have not been as aggressive testing. And I think that ship has also sailed now, too, right, guys? I mean, where we stand right now, I think even NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball players are only being tested if they have symptoms, I would hope, at this point, right?
I would think so, at this point.
I think we should all fall into that category. Now, I guess if they want to go and pay a couple of grand at a private lab, nobody can stop them from doing that. But from what I understand, NHL teams are playing it where if you have no symptoms. So I'm sure there are more than just three, Peter, that have it. But and I have not heard anything from the Rangers that any of their players have it. But if an Avalanche player tested positive 2 weeks ago, just yesterday,
yep,
they played the New York Rangers.
That's right. But I think, yeah, it's interesting, though, because 2 weeks is if no one showed symptoms at this point with over 2 weeks from exposure, I would think they'd be okay. But listen, I'm not Dr. Fauci. It's time for your Drop Madness results.
All right, let's do this.
We will start in the K region, where the 15 seed continues its Cinderella run.
Larry in Long Island, Lala.
What? Lala gets the big win over them boys.
Voting's up, by the way, today. Did you notice?
Is it up a tick?
Really?
Yeah. Getting close to $2,000 on these things.
They should be higher than that, though. I feel it's still wrong.
It's not like there's other things that...
That's what I'm saying. These should be getting 10,000 every time.
Because Drop Madness is going up against, usually throughout the show, Governor Cuomo's press conference and then President Trump's press conference.
This is way better.
I think it's getting very nice numbers.
Well, it's not an upset. I guess it's what you expected. The 7 seed loses in the Peter region. That's right, Freddie Keehy. A 68-32 loser to the 2 seed. You know what? You got to say, though, that's obviously good seating by Andrew.
You can get mad at that. That's the right one to move on.
No, I think you're right. That moment was better. The Freddie Kitchens drop was fake. It was cultivated. It was just to have a version of that as a drop. But the football scream, Don, yeah, that was a great moment.
And you can hear me. I'm cackling in the background. I'm having so much fun.
Don't we still have Keel in?
Yeah, I think I'm O'Keel. I'm O'Keel. You're still alive.
Yeah, that's
correct.
And that was natural.
I don't think it was, actually, but let's not ruin it.
Okay.
The 10 seed that a lot of people think could go the whole way.
Don and Peter with you until 7, and then we are going to have the great Brewers-Pirates game coming up at 7 o'clock.
I'd be proud of that one.
A 69-31 winner over the very popular 2 seed.
I'll write all the numbers down for the Capitals.
The 2 seed goes home, Don.
This shows all the drops that came from Gil. That's from the Gil moment.
Yeah, sure is. And then in the other region, This is basically a Michael drop in the other region. That's what would be interesting. If this makes the Final Four as an other, it's really a Michael win, but the 10 seed advances 68-32.
Roger in Hartford. Roger.
Yes, this is he.
Hey.
I'm Roger.
Hi, I'm Michael.
I really enjoy that.
Great. Not even that great.
I love it.
But the good news is what Peter's about to say.
It knocked off the 2 seed.
I think I got your number. Oh,
thank
Gloria.
I need Andrew to admit. Andrew, please text right now.
Yes.
Please text me. I need you to admit that the 2 seed Brett Hall was a huge, disgusting, horrifying, embarrassing mistake.
To even be in Drop Madness. Never mind.
Should not have been in.
And if it was in, because he was filling out the final, 15 or 16 seeds and he didn't know what to do. A 2 seed?
It's disgraceful.
Anyways,
he says he's never going to quit. He has to be fired. I think that's a fireable offense.
That will do it for ENN on this, Thursday evening.
Yeah, time's really flying, huh, Peter?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.